So, is our union secure or falling apart? It depends on who you ask. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Very happy to be back with you and the folks out there listening. And if you're paying attention to our website, yeah, I'm catching up all the stuff I haven't posted. So I'm getting caught up. I think I'm almost up to...
Almost got him there.
As of the writing, I think I'm up to January. So It may be done by the time you listen to this. I've been doing these pretty fast, getting them up. And my apologies for getting behind. I've had some things going on professionally that have kept me tied up. So that's the way it goes. This is a part-time business, folks. In fact, it's not a business at all. It costs me money. And Barry, I'm pretty sure, can say the same, although he's a little more professionally connected than I am. You hear my advertisement and his advertisement usually at the beginning of our broadcast on WLRY. You don't hear it at all if you're just listening to the podcast, which I should actually attach some of those to the podcast.
Might not be a bad idea.
That's not a bad plan. One plug I'd like to make before we get started.
Okay.
March 8th, folks, Relationships Under Construction. Relationships Under Construction is an organization, a nonprofit educational organization that I sit on the board for, full disclosure. Barry is also an advisor to that group, and I think you act as a lobbyist for them, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I act as the legislative contact for the larger Ohio Adolescent Health Association, which includes RUC and about 18 groups around the state of Ohio who teach healthy relationship skill education in the schools. You know, these are the groups that come in and they teach kids about how to negotiate to engage in sex and things of that nature, but how to say no and, you know, how to take control of their own franchise when it comes to their own bodies and not being pressured or bullied, not being a victim of teen dating violence, not derailing their future because of not understanding clearly what they're getting into if they think about engaging in sexual activity while they're still, well, let's just be honest, children. These groups do a great job. They go in, they help these kids to learn how to have more respect for themselves, more respect for their peers, to not get into these situations in trouble, which sometimes lead to unintended pregnancies, dropouts, sometimes drug use, things of that nature. So they do a great job of helping to keep our kids safe and healthy and on track to be all they can be educationally and personally without getting derailed by so much of the cultural baggage that goes on. When Planned Parenthood comes in and basically says, kids are basically animals, so we're going to teach them how to behave like an animal. These groups are coming in and saying, we believe that these people are worthy of dignity and respect, and everybody should have dignity and respect. And part of that is that you don't treat other people like objects or means of securing your own pleasure. And so I think it's great, Chuck. I'm glad you're on that board. I was on RUC's board for a while, and you're right, I do still act as an advisor to them and also to lobby with the larger group.
Well, that being said, we have our annual fundraising banquet. We do have a grant, but we still need input from the public. We still need donations to make ends meet. Grants run out, and we do need an input of cash right around the time that we have our annual fundraising banquet. Sometimes we wonder if we're going to make payroll during the months of April, May, June at the end of the school year, because we do those things. We do teach healthy lifestyles and healthy negotiating skills. And when I say negotiating skills, I mean how to say no, because part of negotiation is knowing how to say no. For the reasons to say no, one of the things you're going to find out if you join us, and by the way, it's March 8th, our fundraising banquet is March 8th at the Villa Milano on Schrock Road between Westerville and Columbus there. I think it's still in Westerville. It doesn't matter. It's the Villa Milano on Schrock Road. And we would like you to come to that. And in fact, we would like to register you to come to that and come out and sit at, I have open spots at my table currently. And I would like to fill those spots, and I would love to fill it with somebody who's listening to this show, because what you're going to get is you're going to get a pretty good deal with the meal. The meal is very tasty, and it's always good. Even me, who can't eat, that normally the meal is lasagna, which I can't eat, but they put out a pretty good chicken meal. You know, I always go, oh gosh, chicken. And when it comes, it's always great. So I'm always really surprised. But don't just come out for the meal. Come out to find out what the teachers teach, because that's what we're doing for the last couple of years. We used to do a keynote speaker who would come out and do a rah-rah thing and that kind of thing. Well, we've kind of walked away from that, in that we want people to know what it is we teach and why we do the things that we do. So what's happening is that we actually have teachers and students who have been taught coming out and explaining what it is that we do, the importance of the things that we do, the importance of learning proper lifestyles, and the consequences of not engaging in those lifestyles and engaging in a different lifestyle that perhaps groups like Planned Parenthood would love nothing better than for students to engage in. Because what does it do? Well, it creates abortion profits for them. Now, of course, Planned Parenthood will say, we're nonprofit. Well, nonprofit doesn't mean you don't make a profit. What it means is that your profits get poured back into something else. And what does Planned Parenthood's profit get poured back into? Doing sex education to teach children to do the things which got them in trouble in the first place. We'll tell you the truth. Our teachers will tell the truth about the long-term consequences of sexually transmitted diseases and the chances of getting one, which are, in the modern culture, extremely high. We'll tell you what Planned Parenthood won't, and that is engaging in certain activities other than what we would consider regular sex can also lead to STDs. It can also lead to cancers. It can lead to all kinds of infections and that kind of thing. And if you think that sounds like scaremongering, you need to look at the CDC numbers, which is exactly what Relationships Under Construction does. And it shows the kids the CDC numbers and what can happen. And it also shows and demonstrates, I did some of these calculations myself, the lifetime savings and the lifetime economic impact of students who engage early in sex and those who wait until they're married. That is the kind of thing that Relationships Under Construction teaches. If you want to be involved in that kind of teaching, in not just in private schools, not just in home schools, we're talking about teaching in public schools. And there are a number of counties in the area. WLRY's signal isn't gigantic, but within the signal area, there are schools who have teachers who are coming in from Relationships Under Construction. And you will be helping to fund that. And we would like your help in funding that. Again, if you want to know something more about it, you can contact us at www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com, but you can also get more information at relationshipsunderconstruction.com. That's relationshipsunderconstruction, one big word, .com. We want you to come out to our fundraising banquet. And if you can't come, we'd like to solicit a donation. It's a worthy cause, well worth it, and we would love very much if you would come out. Again, March 8th, Villa Milano. I believe it's at 7. If you want to know more, relationshipsunderconstruction.com and www.principledpolicy.com. Okay, shameless plug over.
Well, no, absolutely. Now, you should do that shameless plug. I'm going to do another quick plug because, yes, we want you to do that on the 8th, but if you're also interested and you're pro-life, there is going to be a major conference that's happening the next day, actually the next 2 days after that, on March the 9th and the 10th. That's Friday and Saturday. In Cleveland, Ohio, it's called Bringing America Back to Life. This is the preeminent national pro-life convention, sponsored and hosted by our friends up at Cleveland Right to Life. And there's a stellar group. I mean, you can go over to Bringing America Back to Life's website. You can find out who all is going to be there speaking. I've been at this event like for the last 3 or 4 years now, and it brings in pro-life leaders and activists from all over the country, Chuck, and internationally. We've had speakers from South America, from Europe, all over the place. And of course, Molly Smith, who heads up Cleveland Right to Life herself, is a former native of South Africa. So we have all kinds of different nationalities that are involved in different countries that are involved in this. But it is the nation's preeminent pro-life convention, and we would invite you to come up, go on the website, you can sign up, come up to the convention, stay up there and fellowship with a lot of other pro-life leaders from around the country, learn what's happening nationally, effective techniques on how to advance the pro-life message, and basically what's a culture of death we're setting here in Ohio with a bill that just got introduced by Senator Sherlita Tavares from Columbus that would basically legalize doctor-assisted suicide. It's that's House Senate Bill 269. Again, you know, we knew it was coming, but I think they're going to have a very hard time of getting anywhere with it, since the same legislature, just last session, including Senator Tavares, by the way, twice voting in favor of expanding penalties for assisting a suicide to make it a felony with a definite prison term. So she's trying to have it both ways here. She wants to vote. It's sort of like the John Kerry moment, Chuck. She's waffling. I was against assisted suicide before I was for it. And so she votes in favor of, and honestly just means she wasn't paying any attention, or else she probably wouldn't have voted in favor of it, but voted in favor of a piece that would create expanded penalties for trying to assist somebody, you know, whether it's a doctor or anybody else, to take their own life. And in this, you know, cultural zeitgeist we've got now with that becoming a in vogue thing to do. And now she's turning around and wants to change the law in order to basically legalize doing exactly that same thing. So honestly, she's only gotten two co-sponsors on the measure, and we are definitely, the pro-life community is up in arms about it. So don't think it's going to move, but you're going to learn more about that bill. You're going to learn more about what's going on in Ohio and across the country and across the world by coming up to the Bring America Back to Life conference. That's, again, March 9th and 10th in Cleveland. Go over to Bring America Back to Life. I think it's .org, or it could be .com. I should have looked this up before I even started. It's .org. Okay, I got it right. It's .org. So
give the whole URL again.
Yeah, it's bringingamericabacktolife.org. All one word, you know. Then there's no spaces. It's just all one line. Bringingamericabacktolife.org. It's like that guy in the FedEx commercials. You're saying it so fast that all the words run together.
We'll put a link up.
Who is a national Christian columnist who's going to be speaking. Walter Heyer, this is a gentleman who was formerly transgender and who came out of that lifestyle. We got George Barna, the national pollster on Christian issues. For those who are in the Catholic faith, Dan Thomas, the Bishop of Toledo, is speaking. Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League is going to be there. Newark area's own Elizabeth Johnston, wife of Dr. Patrick Johnston, and the lady who is known as the Activist Mommy. If you haven't heard about the Activist Mommy and the some of the things that end up happening around her, you've been missing out, but you should stop missing out and come and hear her speak at the Bring America Back to Life convention.
Yeah, they're out at Dresden.
And this is a very ecumenical event. I mean, usually you think of, oh, okay, you know, pro-life and Catholic, but really the pro-life movement has really expanded out, and you know, many pro-lifers are Protestant now, and they are all, you know, we're all working together. You know, there is definitely, you know, things for you know, Catholic faithful to think and hear about coming from their faith tradition, as well as folks who are coming from Protestant faith traditions to learn about how to go about being more effective in the culture for life.
Yeah, and I believe the Johnstons are from Dresden.
Dresden area, yeah, that's right.
Dresden, so, yeah, it's a little bit east of Newark, between Newark and Coshocton. So, yeah. Nonetheless, we've known Doc for a number of years. And his wife is doing great work. Some of her Facebook posts, Activist Mommy, you should friend Activist Mommy, because some of the stuff she's doing is just stellar. And boy, when you have enemies like she has, you must be doing something right.
Yep.
because people are constantly attacking her, trying to get her removed from Facebook. She's been banned a couple times by the Facebook fascists. And by the fascists, I mean the people at Facebook, who, it's interesting, you can be as far left as you can get, and you can't get yourself banned from Facebook. You can do things that would get anybody else thrown out permanently, and you can do that as long as you have the right political persuasion. Mark Zuckerberg has made it clear he wants to kill off conservatives and conservatism. He'd rather not have them on his little personal endeavor, and at which he makes zillions of dollars. And I have kind of stopped doing so much on Facebook. I go out and read it, I don't know, a couple times a week. I used to be on there every day. And you want to know something, Barry? I don't miss it, except I do miss people who are posting interesting stuff like Activist Mommy. But I can't catch up. I've stopped using it, and Zuckerberg is finding out that basically being kind of a political curmudgeon isn't working out for him, because they have just lost subscribers for the first time ever. They have a net loss of subscribers. Now, of course, they lose people all the time, but they have a net loss. In other words, their total numbers are shrinking, and in fact, they're getting rather aggressive with those of us who aren't out there all the time. I'm getting lots and lots and lots of, did you see so-and-so's comment? Did you see such-and-such's comment? So-and-so posted a new picture. Wouldn't you like to look at that? And I'm like, no, I don't want to waste 2 hours. I go out there to look at one thing, and I end up out there for an hour and a half.
Well, that can happen.
That's not a good thing. And then I have to post, and I haven't really done a whole lot of that kind of stuff for, I don't know, for about a year. And you know what? It feels pretty good. I do post to the Friends of Principled Policy. Principled Policy does have a page on Facebook, and yeah, I'm behind on posting to there too, but I'm getting ready to catch up. So you can catch our podcasts on a direct link to Facebook. So just so you know that.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. So anyhow, it sounds to me like in the background you're getting busy, because I hear the phones ringing. But you know, there are phones ringing in other places too, Chuck, and especially on Capitol Hill. The phones are ringing, and there are people who don't want to pick up the phone. And those people include the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, because, well, Chuck, the whole release the memo movement has gotten what they're asking for. And it looks like this week, you know, we're recording this on Thursday morning. It could be today, and it could be before the end of the week, that the this memo that everybody's been concerned about regarding how much has the FBI and other agencies been, shall we say, involved in. I want to use the term manipulating, but I probably can't go that far. Been involved in engaging in patterns of activity in relation to the current administration and what their campaign when they were running last in 2016 illegally. It's very interesting, because the FBI, obviously, they do not want a release of this memo. They don't want it coming
desperately
out.
Desperately don't want it.
And, of
it
course,
out.
They're talking national security and all this. All of the same flags that you run up the flagpole when you're trying to get somebody to salute and do what you want them to do. But I think that what's happened is members of Congress who've seen this memo know that there's much more in it that is more damaging to the political opponents of the administration than would be damaging to national security. However, that has not stopped, and I kind of laughed about this. And Chuck, I want you to go in to explain more about the memo and the background, but I just thought it was a very telling piece right here. And if you look at over on Breitbart.com, however, how you feel about Breitbart, I frankly don't care, but you know, they are picking up stuff from other sources, because this was something that came out on MSNBC, where the former Department of Homeland Security head under the Obama administration, a guy by the name of Jay Johnson, basically did an interview about this and basically said, oh, you know, this is the kind of thing that has to go through a protocol, a process to make sure everything's considered, to make sure that declassifying information does not institute damage to our relationships with foreign governments or compromise sources and methods or damage national security. So you look at all three flags, relationship with foreign governments, compromise sources, damage national security, that he's flying all three of those flags at the same time. And so he's basically like, what he's saying is, I don't think we should release this memo, and basically said, and this is the money cord, Chuck, for me.
Yeah.
He said here basically that releasing this classified House Intelligence Committee memo about alleged bias, I love how they're framing it, bias in the FBI, not actively intervening to try to throw a campaign against a candidate. And the Justice Department was, quote, not the way to run a government, unquote. And I had to laugh. I mean, I'm falling off my chair laughing about that phrase, because it's like, you're right, absolutely right, Jay. This is not the way to run a government the way you ran the government.
Exactly.
The way your boss ran the government, the way the establishment wanted the government to run. This is the way to bring transparency and sunshine into a process to get the rats out of the dark corners and get them scurrying and actually clean the place up and make it fit for habitation again. Yes, that's right, folks. This is part of draining the swamp. You know, and whether you like that phrase or not, I think it's very appropriate, because oftentimes when you drain a swamp, you find an awful lot of things in there that you wish you'd never seen. But the point is that you need to get rid of them. And you know, Jay Johnson, yeah, you're right. If you got the mindset of a Jay Johnson or a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama, or may I even dare say it, a never Trumper Republican, this isn't the way you want the government to run, because this is exposing how corrupt this government is and how intertwined it is with the politics of a certain party and of both parties, and how that is not healthy for the American people. And I think that's something that the Trump administration and some of their supporters in Congress are starting to figure out. In order for there to be change again, to strengthen America, to bring us back to a point where this people have respect and faith and maybe even some trust in their government, these kind of things have to happen. You know, transparency has to be there. So what do you think? So why is everybody so worried about this memo, Chuck?
Oh, Barry, it's so easy to see that it's frightening. What has happened? And it's nothing really, really new, but what's new about it is that the level it has reached. And that is that the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the intelligence community have been politicized. They've been what has been referred to as weaponized. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that instead of taking a neutral stance on American elections and standing aside and not having any input at all on American election, the electoral process, what has happened is that those groups, again, the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, the National Security Agency, those kinds of things, they've all been packed with people who have a specific political outlook, and that is a globalist outlook. And at that point, what do I mean by that? They mean that we should all be looking to meld together into one big, happy, international governance entity. And that what used to be called countries are now merely administrative districts. This is the goal of globalism. We want everyone, and we want everyone to share the wealth. In other words, that instead of adopting a free market or a true free market approach, we would have to have a kind of a third way, if you will. And the third way is always is a quote unquote democratic socialism. The Clintons were talking about this kind of stuff in the mid 90s. They were just more out front with it. Republicans have been sort of play it close to their vest because they know it won't play to their base. So what's been going on? Well, these upper echelons of these agencies have been packed with these globalists. Now, what does it mean? Well, what it means is they're actually getting involved actively in their professional capacities, not personally going out and campaigning for a specific candidate. You know, you can't deny somebody the right to have an opinion about who should be president of the United States or who should be senator or who should be congressman from wherever they live. That would be a true violation of their rights. No, what we're saying is using their professional capacities to influence elections. In other words, to release information or to gather information specifically for the purpose of undermining specific people who are either running for or have won a specific office. That's exactly what we're finding out as we delve deeper and deeper and deeper into what started out as an attempt to prove that Donald Trump's campaign colluded with Russia to influence his own election against Hillary Clinton. What we're finding out is that, yes, there was some collusion, but it wasn't between Trump and Russia. It was between Hillary and Russia. And that Hillary and the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary for President campaign actually paid for a document to be created, the quote-unquote Steal Trump dossier. Now, I've heard a lot of Republicans sloughing it off entirely into the laps of the Democratic National Committee. I hate to tell you this, folks, but guys like John McCain were involved in disseminating this thing. John McCain is a Republican. There is some talk that a guy named Peter Singer,
we know his name.
Yeah. Peter Singer was involved in financing the thing.
And if you remember, if you've heard our program before, that name's been around for a long time. Peter Singer is a billionaire hedge fund manager from New York whose biggest claim to fame is that he wants to use his billions to change the Republican Party to support homosexual marriage. That's where he's at.
Well, not only is Singer a flaming supporter of homosexual activism, he is a flaming globalist, as are a whole bunch of the business interests that are hooked up with both the Democratic and the Republican parties. Okay, is it completely in the lap of the Democratic National Committee? Well, the impetus seems to have been with the Hillary campaign. So the answer is yes, but there were other people involved, people on both sides of the aisle, and the people that were especially involved were members of the Intelligence Committee who took this memo, which is exceedingly dubious. The guy who put it together was a paid crony, supposedly former MI6. If you know what MI6 is, it's the highest level of intelligence in the British government. And this guy basically has now admitted that he took rumors, stuff that people had made up, essentially, and put it in the dossier as fact. One of those was a very strange act that Donald J. Trump was supposed to have engaged in while he was in Russia with a couple of Russian prostitutes in a hotel room where Barack Obama had supposedly stayed, and he arranged to stay in there. And Trump hired these prostitutes to urinate in this bed. Now, what anybody was supposed to get out of this, nobody could say, but it was supposed to point to Trump as an oddball. Well, it's turning out this story was completely fabricated, and it seems to have been fabricated by who, Barry? Have you read any of the information about who supposedly fabricated this information?
No, I don't believe I have.
Russian intelligence.
Oh, well, that's the straw man, Chuck. let's always just throw, because everybody's scared of the Russians, so let's just throw the Russians out. Again, if you think about this, the reason why the what they call the deep state, i.e. the these agencies where they've had where they put these politicized, weaponized people like Peter Srozak and I forget the
Strzok and Page, yeah.
Page and yeah. Lisa Page, yeah.
Strzok.
Where they
yeah.
put yeah, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I pronounced his name.
No, it's got a Z. It's got a Z in a place where there shouldn't be a Z. So that's what the confusion is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyhow, yeah, I'm not good with ethnic names. I'll just be quite honest with you. I butcher names all the time. But so basically, this whole deep state idea, they're in trouble now, and they're moaning and groaning about the release of this memo. Because the Democrats, who you know, with Barack Obama and everybody else, decided that in order to, because of their sour grapes over their preferred candidate Hillary Clinton not winning an election, they decided they were going to try to take the Trump administration down by creating this whole collusion meme with Russian, hackers and Russian intelligence and all the Russians, you know, the Russians are coming kind of garbage. But it's really more like the mouse that roared, except for the fact that it backfired on them.
Yes.
Because the more we dug into Russian collusion and the interference of Russia in our elections, the more we realized that the only people interfering in our elections were partisan Democrats who were violating the law. And I think we're going to find out as they start getting either fired or arrested, who violated the laws of this land because to them it was all about winning and putting their person in place so they could continue their assault on the freedoms of this country.
Well, exactly. You got to be careful about laying it all off on the Democrats, because it's just Democrats.
No, I get that, and you're right. Thank you for the correction, because there were a number of the never-Trumper Republicans who were doing exactly the same thing.
And who still are very quiet at this point, but very much would like to have this blow up back in Donald J. Trump's face, but are now admitting, for instance, Lindsey Graham is basically admitting, yeah, okay, the guys may have a point. I mean, if you'll notice, he has gotten very quiet, and if not quiet, then reluctantly supportive of the president, okay, in his efforts, because he's saying the guy's got a point on, you know, I've noticed lately. Now, where's McCain? McCain is essentially slowly dying off in Arizona. He hasn't been back to to D.C. since the end of last year, the end of December 2017, and I don't think he's coming back. As you may or may not be aware, he has a very bad form of brain cancer. I believe he has a glioblastoma, and he's in his 80s. He will probably he's undergoing some kind of chemo, I think, or possibly radiation. But I don't believe he's going to survive it. And even if he does, he's 80 years old. You know, how much longer does he have? He's already, you know, one in the grave and one on a banana peel. So that being said, John McCain was instrumental in disseminating this Trump dossier. He's the one who, believe it or not, slipped this to Democratic supporting groups, slipped this to, and had him give it to the FBI. Supposedly, you know, this thing was generated in private and at the request of Republicans, which it turns out, of course, it was the request of Democrats and Republicans, and he was to turn it over to the FBI as if it was something serious, because he serves on the Intelligence Committee in the United States Senate. Well, of course, they took it and ran with it, and as the claims became more obviously ridiculous, the claims are ridiculous because the Russians made them when the Russian intelligence provided this to this guy from MI6, they made it as absurd as possible. Now, what was the point? Who were they really trying to torpedo when they provided this information? Were they trying to torpedo Hillary, or were they trying to torpedo Trump?
Oh, they were trying to torpedo Trump.
Exactly. They'd much rather deal with Hillary than to deal with Trump. That, when I say they, the Russians. Now, if Putin worked to get Trump in office, how's it paid off for him? It has not paid off at all.
I was going to say, I think that that payoff was like most payoffs at a casino. Went back to the house.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. When people come up and tell you, I won $500 at the casino, how much did you lose? Well, $1,700.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I spent $1,700 and $500.
That's the kind of gamble that Putin put in if he was trying to torpedo Trump. Because what Trump's facing off with them in Syria. The Russians are heavily invested in the in keeping Assad in power, and Trump is that whole move with recognizing Israel, Israel's capital as being Jerusalem, was in part to give Russia a hot foot. Now, that was the secondary reason. Primarily, it was, I think he felt an obligation to do that. But that's a sidebar. So what has gone on with this thing? Well, apparently this memo, this dossier, has been used as part of a thing. For some reason, the intelligence community decided that they had to surveil some members of Donald Trump's campaign and later transition teams. Now, why did they think this? Well, look, there are businessmen involved. We talked about, you and I momentarily mentioned a guy earlier today, a former campaign advisor named Carter Page. Carter Page was a business advisor, you know, part of the Trump campaign is the things that are good for business. And Carter Page was an oil industry executive and an advisor to Trump. Well, we were talking about why would a guy named Carter Page, who's an oil industry executive, want to talk to Russians about anything? And what was the answer we came up with? The fact is that Russia holds some of the largest oil reserves in the world.
On the planet, yes.
They have reserves that no one's even, they're sure they're there, but nobody's gone out to even explore yet. Why? They don't need them. So why would Carter Page want to talk to Russia about maybe developing some of those oil supplies? Well, if you keep the cost of oil within a certain bound, it's good for the economy. One of the reasons you've seen oil rise in cost lately is because at one point we had developed so many oil reserves, there was a glut on the market, so they had to lower the price below the production cost, the cost to get it out of the ground, to clear it so that more could be pumped. That's why you saw gas go to $1.98 last year in spots. That's actually, you can't refine it at a profit unless you can buy the crude at such a ridiculously low price, which they did because there were overstocks. Why do you want to clear an overstock? You want to clear an overstock because there's stuff in the pipeline that you've got to unload. There's stuff on ships. There's stuff in pipelines all over the place. That's why a guy named like Carter Page would want to talk to Russia about the possibility of creating business deals, helping Americans create business deals. Okay, is that a bad thing? I don't think so. My gosh, we talked to the Saudis, and they're one of the most repressive regimes in the world. We buy a lot of our oil when we buy foreign oil now, which we're not buying much of because we produce most of our own nowadays. We were buying it from Venezuela. We were buying it from Mexico. Again, Venezuela, not exactly a friendly nation. One of the reasons that Venezuela has collapsed is because Americans have stopped buying their oil. And guys like the former dictator who died, whose name escapes me at the moment, used that money to basically become aggressive in South America and was sending aid to Cuba. Why do they have to send aid to Cuba? Because Cuba is still a communist economy, and they can't run their own economy. They got to have aid. They got to have support. They have no markets for anything because they don't really have any raw materials. What have they got? They got an island and they've got workers.
Right.
That's basically it. They have to buy a lot of raw materials. Okay.
Yes, they do.
So you're beginning to see a sense that even those of us who are not globalists, and I'm not a globalist, understand that there is a global economy, and there always has been.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
If you look in the Bible, let's go to the Bible for a minute. What's one of the things that they constantly talk about? Trade.
Absolutely.
Did it
trade among countries, among nations? Yeah, absolutely.
And what do they say about that trade? Be fair. Be fair and demand fairness. The whole thing in the Bible about trade is keep honest weights and measures. Well, what's that about? Fair trade. Okay, so suddenly we go from a guy named Carter Page who's talking to the Russians about probably making oil deals to some kind of nefarious, he's trying to get Putin to do this or that or another thing. He wants to have Trump be a puppet for Putin, and that was a big part of the talk for the early part of Trump's after Trump had ensured that he would win the nomination by having so many delegates nobody could overcome it unless they turned a bunch of delegations over. If you recall, Barry, during the period of the campaign and right before the convention, what were people talking about? Here's how Trump could still lose. How many delegates did he end up having? He was like 400 or 500 over the minimum needed for nomination. So these kind of fantasy land scenarios were popping up. So were people glad when this Russian dossier popped up? Oh yeah, we're going to push this thing, and what is it going to do? It's going to, if we can show that it's Russian collusion and that Donald Trump was setting up to be a puppet for Putin, then we can get Hillary elected on this basis. And that was exactly why the Hillary campaign paid for the dossier.
Yes, it was.
And you know what happened when that thing came out and heard some of the laughable accusations? People didn't buy it. Almost nobody bought it. Nonetheless, what they had to do, the intelligence community, was do their best because their motives were not pure. They were not interested in national security. They were interested in keeping an economic nationalist out of the White House. Or if he got in, and you listen to what Peter Strzok wrote to his girlfriend, I just gave you the name, Lisa Page. What did he write to Lisa Page? He talked about the insurance policy. What was the insurance policy? They were going to use this intelligence they were gathering illegally through these FISA warrants to impeach Donald Trump. Now, there were professors that as last month in January of 2018 were talking about the fact that Hillary could still become president. Now, the scenarios they set up were absolutely absurd. Impeach Trump, force Pence to resign, blah, 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 blah. You know, eventually get Hillary appointed vice president and have her then take over the presidency. I mean, these kind of fantasy land scenarios go along with thinking that anyone would buy this laughably absurd steel dossier on Trump. The Trump steel dossier. So what has happened? Well, we've discovered now that perhaps somebody like Carter Page was the impetus for getting the original FISA warrant. But the thing that got used to extend it was the Trump steel dossier. Illegally, this laughable fiction that got created by a British former MI6 agent who worked for this group called Fusion GPS.
Yes.
Who is an opposition research and supposedly a security company. I wouldn't hire these guys on a bet to to patrol my my pole barn office. Nonetheless, this Fusion GPS, it's become a self perpetuating myth. They use this thing to get an illegal FISA warrant so they could continue to surveil a sitting president-elect. They were desperate to find something that they could spin into a Trump-Russia collusion. Now, Barry, as you and I have talked about a couple of times through December and early January, that whole meme has collapsed on its face. It's become
Absolutely.
So laughable. Nobody's talking about it anymore. Now there are a few guys who haven't gotten a memo out on follow some of the comment threads on, you know, when articles are posted and that kind of thing. There are people still trying to spread that, and everybody's kind of laughing at them. Look, that thing's done. The only collusion that was done with Russia was with Hillary. That's becoming obvious.
That's what it's starting to look like very clearly.
Yeah. But now it's we're going back to he's incompetent. He's asking people in the government to do personal loyalty oaths and that kind of thing. Jake Tapper over at CNN is really worried about that. Well, Barry, when the national intelligence community has essentially proven that it is not only not loyal to you, but not loyal to the United States government nor their oath of office, that is to faithfully execute their offices. I don't know for sure if they take an oath of office, but they do have an ethical requirement that they faithfully perform their duties. And when they believe their duties is to bring down a sitting president, then the president has a right to say, okay, this needs to stop. Now, I think Trump has shown remarkable restraint and probably his business savvy in not dismissing Robert Mueller, or Mueller, it depends on who you listen to on the pronunciation. But this special
I usually get it wrong, and I say Mueller, so it may be Mueller.
it's the special prosecutor who's basically been assigned to study this Trump Russia collusion thing. Who essentially Jeff Sessions got manipulated into recusing himself and appointing this Mueller, who it turns out was involved, it's becoming patently obvious, was involved in helping to get the investigation against Hillary dismissed. Hillary was being this whole thing with her illegal email setup. Which everybody who works for the federal government, for instance, the Defense Department, like my sister-in-law used to work for the Defense Department, knows that you are not permitted under any circumstances to use personal email for communications about anything having to do personally. Yeah, you can use your personal email at home. You can't use a government computer. You can't use anything. You can't use your computer hooked up to anything at home except a VPN, if you know what a VPN is. It's called a virtual private network. It is completely hooked into only the computers you're allowed to hook into with the government. Did Hillary do that? No, she didn't. She ran a fakey Jake server in the back room of a company that she hired. Now, why would she do that, Barry? That's the whole point behind this thing. This thing that got started with Mueller and a number of people in the FBI had to basically come to her defense. How did they do that? Well, what they did was they said, well, it was okay for her to do that, but she didn't run any classified material through there. She ran everything through it. Did she do it? It was to avoid congressional scrutiny. That is a criminal act. The fact is Hillary Clinton broke federal law, and she did so to avoid, because she knew she could do exactly what she did, and that was erase the evidence, bleach bit it, and the cell phones, they smashed with a hammer.
Destroy the cell phones, bleach the hard drives, and if you're like, you know, if you're Debbie Wasserman Schultz, have your Pakistani IT folks destroy the computers.
Exactly. Exactly. And then leave the country.
That's another thing that I'm hoping they chase down and lock around some people's necks. Chuck, you know, I don't think it's too early to start possibly floating the idea that many of these activities, if they're found to have been done intentionally, and they will be, probably border on treason against the country.
Yes.
Well, I mean, to gin up a document, to pay for politically and gin up a document, which then you float through official government channels in order to try to create chaos in that government, frankly, that is a treasonous act.
It's aid and comfort to our enemies.
Exactly, which is one of the key standards for whether or not a treason charge can be brought. You know, you may be looking at many of these folks in the gameplay, up to and possibly including Hillary Clinton, although I'm sure she'll probably be somewhat insulated, and definitely Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others who may be brought up on treason charges. And frankly, it may be necessary to do so just to help the American people to understand the depth and breadth of why it's important for us to be involved and to understand who we're voting for.
Well, let's face it. Robert Mueller, who's the special prosecutor in this case, is up to his hips.
Absolutely.
Up to his hips in the swamp in this thing, because he was involved in making sure that Hillary did not pay the price. And we are now finding out that James Comey, who his firing is looking better and better and better and better all the time. The fact is that James Comey wrote a dismissal of the case against Hillary Clinton before he'd even looked at the evidence. That is part of what is coming out in these investigations that the FBI rallied around, and Mueller was part of the FBI hierarchy. Guys like Strzok and Page, all these people were involved in covering up for Hillary's crimes. And the fact is, now, what are they doing? They're actively involved in trying to bring down a sitting president. Now, we realize, as we record this, there's other stuff getting rid of the FISA memo written by the Republicans, written by the committee, and the Democrats object, is going to be released today. And what does the memo do? It lays out, it summarizes the intelligence about how this memo came to be, this dossier memo, and who made it up and what it has been used for illegally, the obtaining or at least the extension of FISA warrants to surveil again a president elect and a sitting president, and the people around him, and the Democrats are having a hemorrhage. The FBI is having a hemorrhage. Barry, why is the FBI having a hemorrhage?
The FBI is having a hemorrhage because they probably have a feeling that this goes much deeper, higher and deeper than they want to let on, and it could mean the entire restructuring of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
It probably means that the house is going to be cleaned, that basically a fire hose is going to have to turn on to the upper echelons, and a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. We've already had a guy named McCabe, who was a deputy director, basically forced to resign. The current director, whose name is Ray, got a hold of, once the Republicans had released the memo to the Justice Department and the FBI to vet before it's released to the public, Ray took one look at it and called McCabe and said, "You are resigning, sir." Now, the sad part is that he should have been fired, and he should have had his pension lifted. McCabe is going to be allowed to walk away from his job and collect his full pension, his full retirement pension, and he was going to retire in March. I honestly believe he was going to retire in March to get away from the blowback from his activities. But McCabe was in, when I say Mueller was up to his hips, McCabe was up to his nose in the swamp on covering up for Hillary and covering her crimes. The fact is, and McCabe was also up to his nose in attempting to do a coup d'etat from inside the Justice Department. Now, if you think it's bad in the FBI, think about places like the National Security Agency, other places where you're not going to get some of the information of what some of the people were doing in there. Some of those people are going to walk away from this and never be discovered. Why? Because the information is, quote-unquote, too sensitive to national security to come out. That's what happens when you create super secrecy and get away from transparency. And who can we really go back to point to what some of the problem is that we're dealing with now with this issue? We can go all the way back to 2001 with the passage of the Patriot Act. Because a lot of this stuff, this super secrecy, this lack of transparency, this this thing about agencies working together, it all came out because of the whole Patriot Act. It made it far more difficult to find out what intelligence agencies were doing. And even though supposedly FISA warrants weren't possible until the Patriot Act. Weren't
right,
possible.
That's right. You're right.
Because they violate the Fourth Amendment, flat out. We've said that all along, Barry. Anybody who's been listening to this show at all knows that we've said all along that those FISA warrants violate the Fourth Amendment. And here we are. The FISA courts are supposedly very, very, worried about the Fourth Amendment. Well, not so much that they didn't issue one to spy on Trump's campaign apparatus. And that's what the intelligence community and the FBI are jumping up and down and claiming national security will be damaged. It probably will be damaged from their viewpoint, because at that point, somebody's going to say, we can't let this happen again. That's what's going on. That's why you're seeing the FBI and the intelligence community. And guys, let's be clear. People that are coattailing on that are guys like Adam Schiff, from a Democrat from California, and yep. Also other Democratic members of the Intelligence Committee who realize that they're about to be dragged down, who are about to circle the bowl. Now, Adam Schiff's never going to have any trouble in his district. He's from California. He's in a safe district. But who else is going to get it? Well, out here, they happen to know that out here in the hinterland, in the Midwest, in the South, in the West, Democrats are going to be in trouble, because it's becoming obvious that they colluded to do these awful things to a president-elect and a sitting president. And they sat there and did nothing while the intelligence community ran wild. In fact, were obstructionist. And that's the bottom line.
Well, you know what? Sometimes it's good to be an obstructionist.
Mm. It can be. In this case, it wasn't.
In this case, it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know what?
I'm an obstructionist on a lot of things,
yes.
But not anything like this.
Not doing the right thing. It's being obstructionist on doing the wrong thing. That's one thing.
Yep.
But these guys are being obstructionist on gathering the proper information. Well, that being said, we're out of time.
I would figure we would be, because honestly, this has taken up all the oxygen in just about every room right now.
That's right. And believe me, folks, we're going to find out more today, and this show's going to run, and you're going, boy, those two were idiots. They didn't know this was going on. Well, we record on Thursday, so that's the deal. So you know what we think. We want to know what you think. www.principledpolicy.com. That's principledpolicy.com. And we also would ask that on March 8th that you join us at Villa Milano in Columbus on Schrock Road for the Relationships Under Construction Banquet. For more information, www.relationshipsunderconstruction.com. That's relationshipsunderconstruction.com. And also for the pro-life rally in Cleveland, bury the information. The website?
Yes, it's bringingamericabacktolife.org.
And join us again next week for another Principles and Policies.